If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Are you a preacher or someone who desires to preach the Word of God? Join us for the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Preaching Workshop 2015. This workshop is designed to equip preachers to deliver the Word of God with substance, effectiveness, and relatability. This two-day workshop will be held Friday, July 17th, and Saturday, July 18th. Registration has begun, so be sure to sign up soon. Call 215-885-2585 to register. That's 215-885-2585. Or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
They that come to God must believe that He is. Well, if faith is so critical, if faith is so dynamic, if faith is something that the Bible declares is the only ingredient that's needed to please God, then God must make it simple for you to accomplish it. How many of you think salvation is difficult? It's not difficult. The way of the transgressor is hard. Becoming a Christian is a simple step. Staying a Christian is a very simple step because it's not up to you. But practicing sanctification is where we have a problem because we don't know how to categorize things in our lives. Some things we call sin, other things we don't. I was reading the scripture one day, and I just began to think about this new rash of tattoos that's coming, and Christians are getting them like crazy. Now, I understand the concept of a fad. Okay, I understand that. But I also realize that there are some things that the devil does in order to weaken the position of God, causing us to justify things that God has forbidden us to do simply because we tell people that was under the law. I take you to Leviticus, and in Leviticus, when God is preparing the children of Israel to enter into the strange lands, He gives them dietary restrictions. We look at those dietary restrictions, and we begin to ask the question, are those restrictions for us today? Well, there were a couple of reasons why God gave certain restrictions. One, because the land that they were about to occupy, the people that were in those lands would use those foods, those certain meats, for idol worship. So God said, don't even let it come to your mouth so that others will see that you are not participating. But then I realized that there was a physiological reason that God said not to eat certain things. So when God says, don't eat the swine and don't eat the shellfish, He wasn't trying to hurt you, but He was saying, I created the lobster and the shrimp and the crab to clean the bottom of the ocean, to take in all the junk. He says, so you don't need to eat that. Now I've given you, and this is the interesting thing, when I was studying, I said, when God told Adam, don't eat of this tree, He says, you can eat of every other tree. So let's just, throw out an estimate that there are literally a million trees. And He says, just don't eat this one. You ever notice how you are drawn to the forbidden? All right, now you have a whole bunch of other fish you could eat. You could even eat Finding Nemo, the little colorful orange fish. You can eat any other fish. So why are you drawn to shrimp, crab, and lobster, the ugliest things? Why are you drawn to them? Now you will say they taste good. Okay, listen carefully. You will find that is correct, but things that are usually bad for you taste good to you. Okay, so when you understand sin, so what does the devil do? He gives you doctrine. Well, that was under the law because Paul says anything that you bless becomes clean. Okay, so that's why we say grace over what's killing us. Now, how does God bless chitlins? How does He do that? I mean, come on. They stink when you cook them. And I know somebody's going, well, if your chitlins stink, hey, you ain't cooking them right. No, they stink. because of what comes through the chitlin. Do you understand the concept? Yeah, I got to make it clear so you can see how dirty it is. But why did God say not to eat those certain things? Because he knew that pigs don't sweat. Now, when you sweat, when your physical body sweats, toxins are released through the sweat. So the things that can kill you and harm you in the skin come out through the sweat. All right? Pigs don't sweat. As big as they are, they don't sweat. That means they hold in all the toxins. Pigs are the only animals that eat where they defecate. So when that farmer throws that cornmeal out there to them, they eat right where they urinate and everything. They eat right there. They eat right there. Now, the second thing, or the third thing you can notice about the pig is that he cannot raise his head. Pigs always keep their heads down. Why? Too much fat on them. There's fat on the pig. And pigs are not like sheep. The Bible said all we like sheep have gone astray. And then it says like sheep we're led to the slaughter. Why? Pigs are humble. Pigs might become rebellious, but you just break their leg, they get back in line. But pigs will follow their shepherd. But you, sheep will follow their shepherd. But you notice pigs do not have shepherds. They don't follow anybody. They're arrogant, egotistical, but when it's time to die, they fight. The butcher has to make a trough for them to walk up so they can't turn. And they used to stand at the top of the trough and smack them with a big sledgehammer right on the top of the head. Sheep will walk over to you, know you're going to kill them, and go, bah, bah, and turn their head so you can slice that jugular and then put the blood all over the mercy seat and then throw it on the people. But never once can you do that with a pig because they're arrogant, independent, stinky, and can kill you. But you're sitting there saying, but they taste so good. Smoked pork chops, bacon. I told people if God had tasted some bacon, he wouldn't have forbid. He had told Moses, write that down. Don't let them eat. No. Wait a minute. What is this? And the angel says, I brought this back from Palestine. This is called bacon. God says, scratch that, Moses. Put in cattle. But why does this happen? It happens because God says, I have plans for your life that include good health. So now later on in our medical understanding, we find that the toxins that come from that meat can feed cancer cells. And so one of the first things they tell you to do when you are recovering from cancer is stop eating pork and processed meats. And you can kill cancer cells by starving them. So that's one of the reasons why African Americans have such a high rate, because we don't want to change our diet. We'd rather just let the doctor cut us and then keep our diet going. If faith is so important, then how does it come? Well, Pastor, lay hands on me that my faith increased. When I was a young minister, I'd lay hands on you for anything. Because my greatest joy was watching you fall out. Man, I just knew I was doing something when you fell out. I was, yes, sir, there it is. Yes, glory. Then you stand there with kind of an arrogant stance. Look at that, look at God. Then the deacons would try to pick him up. Now let him lay there. And then they're on the operating table. God is doing something to them. And if they kind of sat up and I thought they weren't finished, I'd go down and hit them again. Yeah. Because you wanted them to get up and sort of stagger, you know, so everybody think they under some power. God let me go through my arrogant years. He protected me. I think all of heaven grabbed popcorn whenever I preached and said, let's watch the show. And Jesus would look up at the Father and say, how long before we train him right? He said, just give him a little bit of time. I got some folks to throw in his life that's going to change all this foolishness. Just let him enjoy himself right now. It'll be over soon. And when it was over, people would come down and say, Pastor, will you pray that I get faith? Heck no. How often do you come to church? Well, I try to make it once a week. How often do you read your Bible? Well, I might scan through it once every couple days. You're not going to get any faith by me laying my hands on you. Faith don't come by laying on of hands. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and hearing it so much, watch, until you believe it. What is my name? No, it ain't. What is my name? What is my name? What is my name? No, it's not. What is my name? Who said tell us? Make you an assistant pastor. I don't know what my name is. I was told what my name was by two people that I never met before. Their titles were Mama and Daddy. They told me so much that they told my family. So my family started calling me that name. They put a personification with it sometimes that I found out later wasn't my name. But I still like to hear that every now and then because it reminds me who my family is. And you'll probably see about three or four people with a silly smile on their face right now because they're the only ones that know that name, and everybody else will never know that name. But they would give me that name, that little childhood name. They would develop that name, and I would respond to both names and still would respond today if they said it. Now, if my mother was here, she'd say it. She'd just stand up and say, so-and-so. And I have to tell her, Mama, they don't need to know that. But how did I know any of those names? They were told to me by people that I learned to trust. And so now I stand here before you telling you my name is Eric. Because people told me that. And they put it on a document. So when I read that document, I say, that's my name. That's what my mother told them at the hospital to put on that document. So I believe my name is Eric. Now, I could have had another name for all I know. I don't know, but that's my name based on what was told me. And so for the rest of my life, I embrace what was told me. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing. So now, let's get down to brass tacks. How do you know anything about God? It has to be told. Now, when you read this book, and I need you to see this, when you read this book, God is talking to you.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05315A.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.